So, you've learned about the issues in the fashion industry, become passionate about slow fashion, and want your friends and family to join the movement too. But how do you talk to your friends or family or anyone in your life about slow fashion without sounding judgmental or critical? It's a tough balance and a question we've all struggled with. But in today's episode, Stella and I are sharing some tips and talking about our experiences for what's worked and what hasn't. You're listening to the Conscious Style Podcast, where each Tuesday we explore what it will take to create a better, more sustainable, and equitable future for fashion. I'm your host, Elizabeth Joy. Hey everyone, and welcome back to our special short series of the Conscious Style Podcast, Conscious Questions, where Stella and I dive into some of the most asked questions or most talked about topics in the sustainable fashion space. In our first Conscious Question, episode 68, we answered the question, can fast fashion brands ever be sustainable? And in the second of this series, episode 69, we discussed if fast fashion resale programs are a step in the right direction or just more greenwashing. Now today, for Conscious Question number 3, we're talking about a bit of a different topic. Another very common question, though, which is, how do I talk about slow fashion with my friends without sounding judgmental or preachy? Obviously, this also applies to family, colleagues, peers, or anybody else in your life as well. So Stella, you wrote an entire article on this topic. So can you start us off sharing your tips for talking about slow fashion with friends?
Of course. And I think I'm so excited to dive into this because it's something quite close to my heart. And reflecting while I was writing the article, I had to pull on a lot of personal experiences. So I think I wanted to say also, just in my approach to writing the article and even this conversation and speaking to your friends and family, just to emphasize like a sense of gentleness, because I think there's so much a big sense of guilt and shame a lot of the time when we enter into the spaces that people feel. And I can relate to that too. So yeah, just to keep that in mind. And my first tip kind of pulls on that mindset, which is to really just let the people that you are interested in bringing into the conversation, let them ask first. And I think this is just to avoid kind of like coming across as quite preachy or being the friend that wants to kind of like dive into these big, often quite difficult to unpack topics in, you know, just a sudden manner without it coming up organically. So yeah, it's something that I've learned over the years, but definitely let people ask first. I think you're more likely to get an engaging conversation going if it comes from their side, if it's a question they're curious about, or yeah, something that's been on their minds. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally. The topic will come up, fashion will come up, clothes will come up, because fashion is such a big part of our culture. We all wear clothes.
Yeah.
So it's going to come up at some point. And especially if you're talking about these things on social media, which I think we'll talk about later in this episode as sort of a strategy. But if your friends see you talking about it, they know that you're, you know, maybe not an expert on it, like who's an expert, right? This is a constantly evolving space. But they know that you at least know something about it. And if you're, you know, they're right by you and they're hanging out with you, you're a great person to ask. And something you post on social media, for instance, might spark their interest. Or we're seeing it talked about more and more in the mainstream media as well.
Yep.
You know, secondhand fashion, especially, because that is something that I think is more of an accessible entry point for a lot of people. And yeah, I've gotten so many questions. Of course, I run an entire like business based on slow fashion, so this might not always apply. But when friends and family want to know something about something related to like sustainability and fashion or just sustainability in general, they will like often ask me and the question just like comes up. But I think that also applies even if you don't have a business Instagram account dedicated to this stuff, if you're just like resharing articles or, you know, maybe just talking about it. And I also think sometimes people come into the slow fashion conversation, not even from the context of sustainability.
Yes, 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 yes.
Especially thrifting, you know, a lot of people just want to like save money, find unique gems, can be more fun, develop a more unique style if they're not liking kind of what's coming out of the fast fashion brands. And so I think there's also ways for people who have come into slow fashion from other ways and kind of using that as the entry point, because different things might matter to different people.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think style is a really great entry point oftentimes, because it's something that we each relate to in our own ways. And it's something that we can like have an emotional connection to. So it's often a really great place to start talking about, beyond just what we put on our bodies, what is the story behind the clothes we wear, and where do they come from, and what are the different ways of engaging with style and fashion beyond just consumption. So I totally agree. And as somebody that doesn't run like a whole business platform around slow fashion, I think you're right. Just from sharing things online, and even just going to a swap shop and posting about it, or going thrifting and posting about something I found, like that's something that my friends and family pick up on without even reading my work. Even people that haven't read articles I write just know that that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll get questions like, what do I do with my unwanted clothes? A lot. That's like such a common question that I get from people. And I feel like this also will come up later, but like that is a question that I find really difficult to answer in a way that doesn't sound super judgy and preachy. That's like, well, we all need to stop in the US, right? We're assuming somebody does have too many clothes, which usually that's the context that it comes up. And just like, we need to have less stuff, like stop buying so much stuff. But obviously I don't, well, I have said that in the past, to be honest, but I shouldn't. And that's not like the best way of doing it.
Yeah, but I get you. That is one of the hardest questions to answer, because there aren't a lot of simple solutions. And it often requires a lot of like deep reflection on our own, like you were saying, consumption habits.
Yeah, totally. Right. There is no easy answer. There is no like easy way to just pack up everything that you have and just like kind of like get rid of it responsibly and easily, which is a way in my mind. Is that a system problem, or is that like our consumption problem, that we have too much stuff that we don't have the time to even manage how to get rid of it? Or is it a system problem that there actually is no viable solution for end of life for a lot of the stuff that we own? And I feel like it's both.
It is definitely both.
But that's kind of a different topic. So
it is. Well, we can kind of bring it to the next point, because these questions often come up in reference to, I guess, people wondering about our journeys with slow fashion and how we grapple with these questions and things that come up along the way. And so my second point is, when you're in these conversations, or even if somebody asks you, like, how did you get into slow fashion, or where did you get that really great thrifted blazer? I think it's always a good idea to reference your own journey. And I think this, in a way, also takes kind of guilt and shame that sometimes is brought up in these conversations. Like you were saying, sometimes I feel like I'm coming across as judgmental when I say certain things, or not taking context into account, because, of course, that differs from person to person. But when you really personalize what you're saying and reference your own journey in the stories you tell and the way you explain your approach, it just allows people to see, okay, you've done it, and this was your context, and how does what you learned along the way apply to me, without it being like, you should do that, you should change this, or like, why do you do this, and maybe you should do that. So it becomes a more, in a way, gentle conversation.
Yeah, totally. Sharing the ups and downs, making it sort of more human, because sometimes people might see something like sustainable fashion or something like climate activism and see people in the news, and you can sort of separate and say like, well, that's that kind of person. And it feels sort of unrelatable.
Yes, yes.
And that they're either like perfectly sustainable or really hippie.
Yes.
Which some people might resonate with, some people might not. Or it feels like, well, something I've heard too is like, well, what do these climate activists even do? They don't have to have a job. And like, I think it's also bringing sort of like showing it in a more real way of like
100%.
I love fashion and I also try to like do it as mindfully as I can. And it's an imperfect sort of process and journey. And I was also really hooked on fast fashion.
Yes.
So like, I get it. It wasn't easy for me, but like now it's so much more fun and so much more enjoyable. And I save a lot of time and money in the long run.
I love that point about making it human and also admitting to imperfections, because there have been a few times where I have had an interaction where I felt the need to make it a more human interaction. For example, when I compliment somebody on something they're wearing, and this moment sometimes where they give me this awkward laugh and then they'll say something like, oh, but it's from H&M, or like, oh, it's from a fast fashion brand. And I can tell this nervousness is coming from a fear of being judged and probably shamed, knowing that this is something I speak about and have probably called out the brand for something in the past. And I think to be able to respond with saying that, like, it looks really great in you and I hope you get a lot of wear out of it. And also, I have struggled with giving up fast fashion, and I used to buy fast fashion, and I know it's not realistic to completely give it up for everybody, but we can all try our best. So just to make that point of relatability and to also show that, well, most people have old fast fashion or fast fashion in their wardrobes, and it doesn't mean that we can't make better choices or if that's what's accessible to us, but we all start somewhere. And
yeah,
I think it makes it more relatable and human.
Yeah, totally. And that we can take some of these actions. It's like a yes and, right? It's like we can take, for instance, we can protest Adidas. I know there's a lot of like pay your workers protests going on. We can protest Levi's, but like we can also have fun with fashion too.
Yeah.
Like it's not either or, it can be both. And I think that is something that unfortunately isn't shown a lot in media, because it's, you know, we like very simple stories, especially with like the speeding up of media and social media. We like really oversimplistic stories and to put people into boxes. And I think if people see you engaging with slow fashion, but they also know that you're also just like a normal person who likes to have fun and enjoy things and like not take life always so seriously,
yeah,
it feels maybe more accessible to them.
100%. And I think we welcome more people into the movement in that way, because it just makes people realize like, okay, I can see myself doing this. It's not something so far off for people that have dedicated their entire careers to this movement.
Yeah.
It's something that we can all do in our everyday. And I think there are simple ways that are often overlooked that are so fashion practices, like rewearing and restyling and things that you already own, which is like the most basic of them all.
Yeah, which leads well to your third point.
Yes, exactly. And as we have just been chatting about, to make this kind of space more accessible and exciting is also an important to come in with a sense of creativity and to let your outfit lead, which is something I have done many times. Yeah, I think wearing a really funky or like an outfit that really feels like you are dressing as yourself, but it's slow fashion, whether it be thrifted or soft or from a small brand or whatever the case may be, I think to lead with that and to have people ask questions or be curious about what you're wearing, especially as an introvert, has been one of the main ways that these conversations have been sparked in my life. And yeah, I might get a comment like, that's a really amazing jacket, where did you get it? And then I can launch into a bit of a backstory about the thrift store or the swap shop or the brand, and just take the few moments that you get to have people's attention to just explain why it's so meaningful to you. And I think that just leading by example in terms of style is often what really hooks people.
Yeah. It's such an easy entry point into that conversation. A compliment on a shirt or a bag or just an outfit is, or glasses. Like I'm not wearing them right now, but I have glasses from Genusee, which is a brand unfortunately going out of business, breaks my heart, but they are made in Flint, Michigan. And it's like a circular and sustainable ethical glasses brand. And so that's like really cool that I can share about that. Or like, I'm always wearing Swap Society. This jacket was swapped.
It's so good.
From Swap Society. And so I like when someone compliments something, I'm like, oh yeah, actually, I basically got it for free. I mean, not exactly, but I traded in my clothes and I got points and I paid like $5 basically for like a fee for the logistics to swap it. And people love that. You never know if someone really cares that much about sustainability. Unfortunately for us in the movement, we think that everybody should care. And I do believe that everybody should care. I mean, this is also like the future of humanity.
Yeah.
But not everybody does. That's the reality right now. And sometimes it's nice to kind of talk about the other benefits as
Definitely.
Well. And price is a benefit that a lot of people like to hear.
Exactly, which is maybe a good time to bring up that point that I wanted to share about balancing sharing the realities with positive benefits. And I don't know if you want to say any more on that, but I think a lot of us can relate to that. And sometimes price is a very big benefit. I mean, I know when I started thrifting, I didn't know that it was considered sustainable fashion. And I definitely was doing it because it was cheaper and I could find really unique pieces. And like the process just enchanted me. So of course, we should all care about the systemic issues underlying a lot of these causes and movements. But I think, a lot of practices also come out of necessity. And it's important to acknowledge that because I think a lot of sustainable practices, even when it comes to clothing, come from necessity and people that are doing these things out of necessity, which is always good to remember.
And somebody's entry point into something is not necessarily the end point either.
No,
So they might go thrifting for one reason and then learn about the sustainability later and also get excited. Like, I think it can be several reasons. I think it's, for me, it's a lot of reasons. Like, I like to find more unique things. I do like that it's less expensive and also it's a sustainable choice.
Yeah. And you have a bit more time often because you're not like constantly consumed with, I know for me, it was unsubscribing to a lot of emailers and like newsletters have marketing on them with big sales every day. You're not spending so much time concerned with browsing all of these massive sites and things that actually you don't realize take a lot of energy and time from you. But yeah, taking a bit of a step back from that level of consumption does often save time. And I think though I wanted to say that it is also good to find ways to bring in the realities of the industry because I know that in many cases it does take a moment of shock in a way to just open your mind up to things that you may not have been aware of before. Maybe it's watching a documentary or somebody sending you a news article about fashion's waste crisis or hearing about greenwashing. There's, for me, I remember the true cost being like one of my first wow moments of like, this is the reality of the industry. And so I think it's important to welcome people in by sharing the other kind of benefits of slow fashion, but also try and create awareness at the same time, which you do really well through your platforms about the really harsh, often realities, because we can't run with.
Sometimes I feel like a negative Nancy.
But like you were saying, it is the future of humanity. So at some level, we need to just try and engage with it. I know it's not always easy, but it's a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a balance. If you're liking this episode, then you're going to love our newsletter. The Conscious Edit is a weekly roundup of news and resources about slow fashion and sustainability. Expect recommendations for articles, podcasts, videos and documentaries, campaigns to support, brands to browse, and more. You can sign up at consciouslifeandstyle.com/edit. Subscribers will also receive a little welcome gift, a 10-page list of sustainable fashion educational resources. The newsletter is the best way to stay connected with us as well, since social media algorithms are notorious for ever changing. Again, that link is consciouslifeandstyle.com/edit. And the link will also be in the episode description. But in terms of with friends, I agree that sending like something like a documentary can be a really accessible way. Or if you're in a book club, maybe you recommend a book that covers sustainable fashion. I think Consumed by Aja Barber is a great introductory book because she talks about, she interweaves her own journey too. And she brings in her humor and just like relatable stories. Because some sustainable fashion books are very academic and I struggle to get through them. Like, this is like what I talk and write about all the time. And I love this stuff. And I am like, ooh, this is like a hard one to get through. Yeah. But yeah, Consumed, I would recommend Consumed. Or Conscious Closet by Elizabeth Klein as well, for more like handbook style, actionable, like here's what to do.
Yeah, that's a really good point in a book club, because then often in book clubs, there's also the space for discussion afterwards, after somebody's read the book or passed it on to somebody else. And yeah, it's nice to also hear other people's perspectives on things. But perhaps if you don't have time to read a whole book, or maybe you don't have a book club to create these spaces for discussion, even bringing in a fashion news item into a conversation is a great idea to get ideas rolling, hear what people think about the matter. And so this was another point that I mentioned in the article, but whether it's something on greenwashing or fashion's waste crisis, which are two quite big topics that are now making it into quite mainstream media, I think suggesting, have you read this article or did you see this being posted about? I'm thinking also about Shein, because I know a lot of people share like news posts about Shein, and I've seen that on social media, even not from people that are quote unquote slow fashion advocates, but it's just so shocking that it's made it into conversations around news items. So bring it up, see what people think, have a conversation around it. And it's often like top of people's minds. So a great way to initiate some thoughts around the matter.
Yeah, that is such a great point. The recent expose of Shein did really make waves. And I was glad to see when I shared about it on the At Conscious Style Instagram, there were people in the comments like tagging their friends and being like, looks like we can't shop there anymore, or we should stop, you know, shopping at Shein. So I was glad I was reaching people who do maybe shop there and perhaps can choose to not shop there.
That's really great.
And I feel like, sort of to some of the other points about making it the conversation more accessible, I find that, like, you know, if we come at it of sort of like, this brand is doing this horrible thing, it makes it a little bit less judgy when you're like, oh, consumers are just making fast fashion into this really popular thing, and consumers are over consuming, and, you know, which might be true to an extent, but also that's not maybe everyone's story. And some people were just like, oh yeah, it's affordable, and maybe didn't know how the reality was, like how that was made. I mean, I didn't know, or I didn't really think about it. I should have. When I was shopping Forever 21, I should have questioned, how is this shirt $3? But I didn't. And I think that Dr. Dion Terralonga has some really great Instagram reels talking about sort of how we're able to separate things that don't align. And so we can kind of compartmentalize things.
Yes.
And so I guess what I'm trying to say with this is that I think that it can be helpful to talk about the brand and not consumers are the worst.
100%.
Obviously doesn't feel very good to the people you're telling that to.
And also, and you spoke about this in your recent podcast episode with Jasmine from Sourcing Journal, but news items often help us to see like systemic patterns. So when journalists are speaking about these systemic issues and using different examples of these big brands that we're all aware of, it does help to create those linkages in our minds. So the sense that it's not just a standalone issue from one brand to another also just is a maybe an interesting way to bring it up. Did you see this about Shein and this about, I don't know, Zara, and try and create linkages between the two, because they often are ways to create those connections that speak to like the broader system, as opposed from it being just one standalone news article.
Totally, totally. It can be an opportunity to open up discussions about the sort of systemic issues. And I think it's also maybe helpful to talk to people about the manipulative marketing tactics that some of these brands use. And you know, not trying to blame them or shame them, but just saying like, they make you feel like it's really urgent. They have this countdown timer of their launch in 12 hours, but we know there's no shortage of fast fashion. It's not actually a scarce resource at all. Yeah. But they might have this sale timer or this collection drop timer and this artificial scarcity and artificial urgency, or just like, do you notice that Pretty Little Thing always says 80% off?
Exactly.
And I guess also shedding light on that, I think that helps for people to be a little bit more aware and be like, oh, wait, do I actually want to shop, or am I shopping because I'm getting 10 emails and 20 notifications from Shein?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And so I think news and speaking about these topics in terms of the systems that are at play, it really helps to appeal to our minds, which are a great place to get us thinking about different big issues, which fashion has so many of. And I think that works for a lot of people. And often, this is leading into my next point, we need a little bit of a shift in our emotional connection as well, and the way we relate to consumption and our clothing in a practical way. And so I found something to be helpful in the space as well, is to try and show instead of telling. And I try and do both. I try and, you know, have conversations around fashion's impact and news items, but also sometimes taking somebody to a clothing swap or taking them thrifting or having a mending evening are also really great ways to just show the practicalities of what does slow fashion mean in practice, and how does it feel when you're doing that thing? How do you feel when you walk into a charity store and find like your dream pair of pants and it's really not that expensive, or you found it secondhand, which feels very different than stepping into a mall and feeling like this big rush that you need all these latest trends and like you've really seek this item out and you're making it your own. So I think to keep that in mind of balancing telling people the realities and also showing them the alternatives is a good way to bring people into the space in a more gentle way.
Yeah, I love that. And sort of to the point we were talking about before, can maybe bust some misconceptions or generalizations about what slow fashion is, right? People might have an assumption that thrifted clothes are dirty or not stylish. But if you're, you know, someone says, oh, I love your outfit, and then you tell them, oh, it's all secondhand, and that might sort of shift their perception. So actually, sometimes I think it's fun to let your outfit lead, which was another tip that you had, because some people will just like objectively like your outfit, not objectively, but like without knowing where it's from, they'll just like your outfit.
Yes.
And then you tell them it's secondhand, and it like kind of changes something in their mind, I think, if they did have a misconception or bad perception of secondhand in the past, for example.
That's a really good point. And you can almost see that shift happening. Like, I've watched friends find something at a swap or at a thrift store, and just like the eyes light up. And it's really joyful to see, because I think when we start understanding what it means in our own lives, it's where like the change really happens and you become so much more open to trying different things. And I know that's what it was like for me coming into the movement. And my journey kind of started at clothing swap, which felt so different to just this rampant consumption and being constantly convinced that I need new things. It just felt so warm and welcoming and joyful. So I think that is one of my favorite tips, because I know that's how it was for me.
Yeah. And if you want to bring friends into that, you can kind of say, you know, I want to go to this clothing swap, but I don't want to go alone. Will you come with me? I want to go thrifting because I need XYZ.
Yeah.
Will you come with me? That sort of normalizes behavior as well. Or like, yeah, come over and let's chat and have coffee. And I'm just going to like do some mending. For the record, to be honest, I've not ever done that with the mending. But that would be really cool if I did one day.
I've crocheted though. I've crocheted or like knitted while somebody's been here and or like visiting
me. That's amazing.
And I feel like it also is intriguing. Like, people want to learn. And I have had a friend do that. And I asked her, like, can you teach me how to crochet? Like, there are definitely points of entry. So I think it does work well.
I love that. I love that. And another really easy one, I think, in terms of behavior is just outfit repeating.
Like, yes.
Not being afraid to rewear the same dress to another wedding.
Which is going to be me. Yes.
Scandalous, wearing the same dress to two weddings. What? I mean,
yep.
It shouldn't be so countercultural, but it is.
It is. But to just like, it's wild to think about because it's actually not that strange. But weddings for some people feel very like touchy about those subjects. And I'm attending a wedding in a few weeks and I got a secondhand dress for it. And I've decided like that's just going to be my wedding outfit for the foreseeable future. Like mm-hmm. if I get invited to a wedding, I'm just going to wear the secondhand dress, which I really love. But I think it should be normalized that we, especially for occasion wear, like formal wear.
Yeah.
We don't have countless occasions to go to as a normal person. So I only have one very fancy dress now. So I think it's a great way to just show people you can still look good and feel good and have a great time and be wearing the same outfit. It doesn't affect the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because we're like, oh man, I have to find an outfit for this. I have to find four dresses because we're going to four weddings. And it's like, we get like stressed about it. I'm like, who says you have to buy four different dresses?
Yeah.
Like, why can't you? Is there one in your closet maybe that you even have that you could wear? And Alyssa Beltempo, who has a fantastic YouTube channel, had some great advice for occasion wear on one of her YouTube videos. And it was like, buy for your style and what you love, not for the occasion. Like, if you buy a dress or pantsuit or whatever it might be, particularly for a special occasion, there's a good chance that like you won't wear it again because it doesn't feel good, doesn't feel like you. So that was like a really good tip, I think.
That's actually something I've had to channel within the past 2 weeks, thinking about what I'm going to wear to this wedding. So I was like, it has to be something that I feel good in because I know I'm going to wear it again and again. And I think also maybe another tip is that like you could change the accessories or the bag, you know. It really changes the look and feel of an outfit sometimes. And it's simple things that you already have at home, changing your earrings or bag or whatever it may be, shoes.
Yeah.
So outfit repeating doesn't always have to mean you have to wear the same thing, like exactly as it was. But like, you know, you can restyle the pieces. You can wear it with different pants or different shirt. And I have my favorite outfits that I wear piece on piece, exactly how I always wear them. But I have other pieces that I switch between. And I think normalizing that is such a big step for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And an important one.
Totally. And it makes other people more comfortable doing it. When you're outfit repeating and proud of it and not ashamed of it, I think that makes other people more comfortable with it.
Yes. Yeah, I think this whole conversation is a lot about relatability and making sure that our journeys are relatable to as many people as they can be to make people feel welcomed and not judged and shamed in the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think leads perfectly to the last point that I wanted to share, which is to listen with empathy and ask questions. Because I think, and I remember like reflecting back years ago when I was first starting in the space, I did feel a sense of intimidation and then maybe a sense of like guilt and shame around the fast fashion they owned. And I think it's quite a daunting space to come into, especially when you're starting out and maybe you don't know a lot of the misconceptions or myths around sustainable fashion and you have a very particular idea of what it's meant to be. So I think even for us as people that have been in the space for a while, an important thing to remember to do is just to listen and to ask questions about other people's journeys and stories without trying not to come across as judgmental, because I think there is so much nuance in the space and also so many different contexts and people who have restrictions for many different reasons, whether that's financial or health conditions or sizing or geographic context. So to be able to listen and understand where people are coming from adds a level of just acceptance and knowing that this movement is not going to look the same from person to person. And that's actually quite a cool thing, quite an exciting thing. So it's more for us to be aware of our, I guess, privileges and vantage points when we're going into these conversations and not just expecting it to be us sharing ways that other people can change, but also being aware that there are ways that we can unlearn and relearn things along the way too.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect tip to round out this conversation, because if there's one sort of surefire way to make sure you don't come across as quote unquote preachy, it is to not preach, not make it a one-way conversation, yeah. Not just be talking on your pedestal, but making it a conversation. And part of a conversation is, of course, listening, asking questions, hearing out their concerns. And I think this can actually be an amazing way to learn about the barriers to slow fashion that maybe you didn't experience personally, but that are very real for other people. And that can be a way to make the slow fashion movement more inclusive, because you can consider their concerns and think about, okay, well, how can we sort of address that?
Yeah,
and exactly. Maybe in some cases it might be a misconception, and in other cases it might be a very real barrier. And I think, yeah, acknowledging that, as you were pointing out, and understanding, coming at it with empathy, that's easier said than done, because I know this is like a passionate topic, and yes. We get very passionate about this stuff because we care about it, which I think is amazing. It's so cool that you care. I mean, we need more people to care.
Yeah.
But yeah, breathe. And that one person that you're talking to is not the responsible party, most likely, unless you get to talk to, like, I don't know, the CEO of H&M, then go at it.
Yeah, this does not apply. These tips probably don't apply in extreme cases.
But yeah, I feel like that's a great way to end off. Do you have anything else to add? Any final words, Stella?
No, I think we've covered most of the tips, but I guess if anybody else has tips for us, then you can always DM or leave them in the comments or posts, because I think we can only get better about how to approach these conversations and how to make them feel more accessible. So yeah, that's it from me.
Yes. Yes, DM at Conscious Style on Instagram, or email podcast@consciouslifeandstyle.com if you have tips to add. That is an amazing point. And we want these conversations to spark more conversations and more kind of thinking about it. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, this whole conversation about how to talk with friends and family about slow fashion, it comes down to, like, we are all part of culture and we can all sort of help shape the future of culture and society. And so these conversations, they're kind of like just micro actions that can amplify and scale. And, you know, I heard this one quote, like, the culture is changing. It's always changing. So it's up to us to sort of decide where it's changing, what's happening to culture.
I love that.
Yeah. Obviously, some people have more influence on that than others, but you also have a microculture within your family or your friend group or your neighborhood or your office. So
yeah,
that can be really exciting, I hope.
Exactly. Because sometimes changing the world feels a bit daunting, but sharing with the people that you know and who you can have conversations with and see if there are ways of shifting culture within your sphere of influence is a really good place to start.
For sure, for sure. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to this week's Conscious Question. Make sure you are following the Conscious Style podcast on your listening app of choice so that you do not miss any of our future Conscious Questions. And rate, review, share the show if you enjoyed it. And as I said, let us know what you think on Instagram or via email. And then finally, we would love if you subscribed to the weekly newsletter, The Conscious Edit, which goes out each Saturday. It's basically a curation of resources like news articles, podcasts, videos, and all that kind of good stuff. It varies by the week. So you can sign up for that at consciouslifeandstyle.com/edit. And the link will also be in the YouTube description and in the episode description. Yeah, side note, if you're listening to this on audio, we also are going to be posting this on YouTube. I should have mentioned that at the beginning, but there are going to be video versions of this episode and the upcoming Conscious Questions too. So hope to see you over there as well. All the links are going to be in the episode description. Thanks again for tuning in, and see you next week.
Bye.